Yeah, good morning. I thought the worship team was absolutely fantastic this morning. I don't know if you agree with that. Well done. Sensitive to the Holy Spirit, give opportunity for God to move. Yeah, fantastic. What I'd like to do this morning, just for a few minutes really, is have a bit of a journey through Genesis chapter 21. And my intention is to read part of Genesis 21, and then we're going to wind back time, really, and have a look at the circumstances that led up to this point. And then we're going to go back into the story, hopefully with fresh insight, and just pick out some main points, really. So that's what we're going this morning. So if you've got your Bibles with you, it's Genesis chapter 21. Oh, good, got the PowerPoint working, well done. So Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 to 15, and it's the story, really, of the birth of Isaac and Hagar and Ishmael, and Scripture reads this: "Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, 'God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me.' And she added, 'Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age.' The child grew and was weaned. And on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham was mocking. And she said to Abraham, 'Get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac.' The matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. But God said to him, 'Do not be distressed about the boy and your slave woman. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it's through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the slave into a nation also, because he is your offspring.' Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and then sent them off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat down a bow shot away, for she thought, 'I cannot watch the boy die.' And she sat there, and as she sat there, she began to sob." And we're going to stop the story there just for a little while, and we're going to now look at the circumstances, really, what brought this dire situation into being. And as we're journeying through this, we're going to then look at drawing out some key points from the Bible, which hopefully we can relate to as well. So I'm going to take us back now 27 years. And I'm going to read a few scriptures from Genesis chapter 12, and it's the call of Abraham. Genesis 12, verse 1 to 4 reads this: "Now the Lord had said to Abraham, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to a land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you.' So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. And it's interesting here that we forget sometimes just these few verses, just these few chapters in the Bible span 27 years. It's a long time, isn't it, to have a promise and then to see it fulfilled. Yet we see here a clear call on Abraham's life. And with call comes promise. And here's a key point, really. With God's call comes promise. And I believe that relates to each one of our lives, really, that as we're called by God, God brings promise as well. And I don't know if you can relate back to when you knew that specific call on your life, when you knew that God was beginning to speak to you and you was beginning to respond to him, and you knew that God was calling you to himself. And at that time, God brings promise into our lives. And friend, I just want to ask you to remember back to those days and remember the promise that God gave you. You know, it could be something to do with your job. It could be related to where you live. It could be to do with relationship or marriage. God promises things to us and he keeps his word. You know, when Jesus began to call his disciples, he said, "Follow me and I will make you." And that call is still the same today. God still says to us, "Follow me and I will make you." And you can add those bits on to the end of that, but as we follow him, he will make us into something that he's purposed we should be. Now, I want to quickly move on 10 years. So we've gone back 27 years now. Now we're moving on 10 years. And we're going to pick up Genesis chapter 15 and verses 1 to 6. And Abraham, or Abraham at this time, he's just fought with kings. He's took 300 of his servants, the farmers, and they've gone and fought with this army and won, and they've rescued Lot. And the king of Sodom wants to make him rich, and Abram says he doesn't take anything from him. And he comes to this place after this, then after all this happened, after he's gone through this great battle, that the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. This is Genesis 15. And God says to him, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." And listen to this. This is what Abram says. "Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who inherits my estate is Eliezer of Damascus." And Abram said, "You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." Now, what's interesting here is that this issue is still burning in Abram's heart. God has promised 10 years previously, it hadn't happened. And it's still there. So when God speaks, Abraham brings it right to the fore. "God, what are you going to give me since I remain childless?" And it's interesting that God answers this and he says, "The word of the Lord came to him, 'This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir.' He took him outside and said, 'Look up to the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them.' Then he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.' And it says, Abram believed the Lord and he credited him to it as righteousness." Now, it's a great thing, isn't it, to believe God? You know, when God speaks to us, that's our response, isn't it? We believe him. And what God was saying really was this: the promise is still on. The promise is still on. And I just want to reassure our hearts this morning, whatever God has spoken to us, it's still on. Game on. With God, it's not finished. You know, we might have gone through disappointments. We might be, it might not seem like it's in our timings. We want God to do things a little bit quicker sometimes, and it happens. Yet God is building, he's working the fruits of the Spirit in our lives, patience, long-suffering. He's working these things through, but the promise is still on. Whatever God has promised you, his promise still remains true. Numbers 23 and 19 says, God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. He has said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? Now let's move on just to Genesis 16 quickly, and we're coming in now back into where we was. But we'll read here Genesis 16. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abraham, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Abraham agreed to Sarah, saying, so after Abraham had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarah, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abraham, you are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me. Your slave is in your hands, Abraham said. Do with her whatever you think best. Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. And it's interesting here that the promise had not happened according to their Abraham and Sarah's time. So they almost forced this issue forward. And Sarah came out with this plan that that Abraham should sleep with Hagar. And perhaps through this child, Sarai could bring up her family. And yet what's interesting is that their decision brought contentions. And it's interesting when we move out of the will of God, when we start to take decisions in our own hands, we have signs, and often those signs are that there's contentions in our lives. It says that Hagar began to despise Sarai. That's the first thing what happened. The slave woman began to despise the mistress. Sarai began to blame Abraham. Abraham put the responsibility back onto Sarai. Sarai began to mistreat Hagar. And the consequences of their actions had far-reaching effects. But can you see this circle forming? I don't know if you've ever been part of that, been privy to that, where there's this blame going around for the circumstances that you found yourself in. It's your fault. No, it's you. Well, you deal with it then. Well, I'm going to despise that person who did that to me. Can you see where it's going, this vicious circle? And that's what they found themselves into. Far-reaching effects. And it says in verse 15 here, Abraham was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. So I'm going to move on now quickly to another 13 years into Genesis chapter 17 and verse 15. And it says here, God also said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be a mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. And here God reaffirms his promise to Abraham and to Sarah. And we move on into Genesis chapter 21. Come straight back into this story, and it says this then, verse 1. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Now here's a key point for us, that the Lord always keeps his promises. He always keeps his promises. 27 years had passed, but God was true to his word. He always will be. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says this, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. And what that scripture is saying here really to us, that whatever God has promised you, it's yes in Christ. Interesting, we heard this morning when God says, when people say no, and God said yes, it's going to be a yes. It's so true, Kirsten, isn't it? That when people say no, and God said yes, it's going to be a yes. And somewhere in this yes, we get this amen coming out of us. And I just want to reaffirm to you that what God has promised you, let faith arise this morning and let the amen begin to come out of your spirit. Don't let the devil rob you of what God has promised you. Don't let people's voices rob you of what God has promised you. Let faith arise and let his enemies be scattered this morning. Let the amen come out of us again. Let it be reckoned to us for righteousness. Joshua said this at the end of his life, and now I am about to go the way of the whole earth. And you know in your hearts and souls, all of you, that not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. Not one good thing has failed. All have come to pass. Not one of them has failed. And verse 2's key here, where it says this. It says, Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised him. What a wonderful story that is. 27 years had passed, yet at that very time God had promised him, Sarah bore Isaac. Not a moment before, not a moment after. And can I say this to you this morning? When the time is right, those promises will come to the fore in your life and in my life. Not a moment before. Let's just believe God together this morning for them. Yet we read this, verse 8. The child grew and was weaned. And on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham had a great feast. But Sarah saw the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abram was mocking. Now it's interesting here that there's no mention of Ishmael's name. It's all about the son that Hagar had borne. And sometimes when we have contentions in our lives, we distance ourselves from them. We depersonalize ourselves from them. And this is what Sarah did. The son whom Hagar had borne, no mention of his name at all, was mocking. And there's this distance, there's this separation now. And I don't know if you've ever been here, but when things hurt us, when things have built up over a number of years, we can have a tendency to step back from that situation and depersonalize ourselves from it. It becomes that thing. It's not that person anymore. It's more that thing. And this is what happened to Sarah. And she said to Abraham this, that get rid of that slave woman and her son. This is what she said to her husband. For that woman's son will never share an inheritance with my son Isaac. And she was right. It was just the way she said it. She was not in a good place. And interesting that Abraham said this, the matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. Can you see the personal aspect here? Hagar's son, said the wife. His son, said Abraham. He was concerned about it. And it's interesting that God's word came in this situation, verse 12, and God said to him, do not be so distressed about the boy and your slave. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it's through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the slave into a nation also, because he is your offspring. Now, what's interesting here is that Abraham believes God. Now, it might seem a cruel act to cast out his wife, really, and his son into a desert place. But Abraham had God's word on it. And what's interesting is that he'd attuned himself to knowing the voice of God over the years, and he knew when it was God who was speaking to him. In this situation, he knew God had said, I will protect your son. I will make him into a great nation. So Abraham, he provides, in verse 14, he provides food and water. And we see this great picture of the Ishmael wandering out into the desert with this great jar of water on Hagar's shoulder, bringing the boy along with him. And, you know, it's interesting that verse 15, it says this, that but when the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Whatever is provided naturally for us will come to an end. It has a shelf life. Whatever God provides is eternal. And the water came to an end. The provision, Abraham's provision, came to an end. And the question is that, you know, how long could they survive in that desert place without water? Anyone here who's watched Bear Grylls on the island will see the consequences, really, of a group of people who haven't got water and the effects it has so quickly on their body. And such was the case here, there, that they had no water, so the mother, she puts the boy under this bush for a little bit of shade, and she can't bear to watch her son die, so she puts herself a bowshot away from the boy. But here it is. I cannot watch the boy die, and she sat there, she began to sob. But here it is. God heard the boy crying. Now, whatever situation we find ourselves in, God hears our cries. And that's the important thing for us this morning, that it doesn't matter how dire our situation or circumstances are, it doesn't matter if we haven't got the prayers to pray, God hears our hearts and he hears our cries. And the boy wasn't praying, he was crying, sobbing, almost on his deathbed here. And God hears his cry. I don't know what situation that you might find yourself in this morning, whether there's that cry in you over the past weeks or months, but can I assure you this morning that God hears it? He hears your cry. Not only does he hear your cry, but he can interpret what you're saying too. It says here that in Romans that the Spirit It groans within us sometimes because we haven't got the words. There's just this groan. And somehow the Holy Spirit can take that groan and he can lift it up to the throne of God, and God can interpret exactly what you're saying, what your needs are, and what his answer is through those groans. He's a great God, isn't he? He's a good, good Father. And verse 18, God says this to him, "Lift the boy up and take him by the hand." You know, sometimes we just need somebody to get hold of our hands and lift us up, don't we, out of our situation. I thank God that I've had situations in my life where I've been on the ground and someone's come along, not literally, but you know what I'm saying here. Someone's come away, they've brought a word, they've brought a bit of encouragement, they've just come alongside, they've done something to lift me up. Thank God for people like that. "Lift the boy up and I will make him." It's not finished. It ain't over. It's still game on. And it doesn't matter if you find yourself on the ground this morning, you know, at your lowest ebb, it ain't finished there. You know, the hand of God could come down this morning and lift you up and make you into something. And here's really my key verse this morning in verse 19. "Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water." What's amazing here is that God had already made provision for her and her son. It was already there. As Steve brought this morning, the American football that turned into something different. It was uncovered. It was revealed, and something different was there. Such was the situation here that God opened her eyes and provision had already been made for them. They just hadn't seen it yet. And can I say to you this morning, that provision has been made for you already in your circumstance, in your situation. It just hasn't been revealed yet. You know, when God brings revelation, it's all about the uncovering, isn't it? It's like, you know, a cover being over this stand here. It's already here, we just can't see it. And all of a sudden, God lifts the veil, the cover, and we see it. Such was the case with Ishmael and Hagar. She saw the well and she drank. The well was uncovered. Revelation had come. There was water to drink and satisfy their thirst. Water that would enable them to live. But here's the key point for us this morning. Provision greater than that well of water in the desert of Beersheba is in this place this morning. It's here. Provision for you, provision for me in our situation, in our circumstance, in the promises that God has given to us over the years that's not been fulfilled yet. God, through his Son Jesus Christ, by his Spirit, is here this morning. And I believe that He wants to uncover provision for us this morning, bring revelation for us. I'm going to ask the group to come back. And as the group come back and we begin to sing, I just want us to ponder a little on what God has promised you and me. God has already made provision for you. The well is already here. God wants to reveal it to us this morning by his Spirit. He wants to bring answer to our situations. He wants to bring to the fore the promises that he's given us. He wants faith to arise this morning. He wants the lie to cease. In the name of Jesus, let lies Be silenced and let the voice of God be heard this morning. As God reaches down his hand towards you and me this morning, let him lift you up. Let's not stay there. When we hear God's voice, let's not be those that want to sit still in the wallow. Let's be those that hear his voice and respond to his word. If God has promised you something, it will happen. It will happen. God is true to his word on that side. God wants to reveal the well to you this morning, the well of living water. His name is Jesus. God wants to uncover truth to you, banish lies. You know, for too long in my life, I know I've sat under the word of a lie. The enemy whispering to me things which aren't true. That's not been of God, but it's kept me under. Until God comes by his spirit and revelation comes, and suddenly I see it's a lie and I see God is true to his word and that he does want to fulfill in me all that he's promised that he would do. Shall we stand this morning as we begin to worship? Perhaps if God has spoken to you, well, you just raise your hands. Let God bring revelation to your heart this morning. Let him bring his truth to your heart this morning. Let the truth of God set us free from the lie of the enemy. Let's fulfill the purposes of God in our lives this morning. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered this morning. Let the church arise. Let's have one voice this morning as we believe God together, that revelation will come. It'll come this morning as we lift up our hands, that God will speak truth into our hearts. We'll see the well. We'll see his provision being made for us already. Let's believe that our circumstances aren't going to change. Let's believe that God can bring about a change in our lives, a radical change in our lives, that people will see us and say, you're not the same person anymore. What's happened to you? It doesn't have to remain the same, you know. It doesn't have to remain the same. God is all about change and change for good. God brings about change because he knows it'll do us good. He knows that whatever he's got for you and I this morning, it's going to radically change our lives and do us good. God is a good, good Father. Let's raise our hands this morning. Let's believe him as we worship him. Let God arise this morning. Don't sit under the lie no more. Don't sit in that desert place no more. Lo, the winter is gone. Spring, the summer's here. It's the time of the singing of the birds has come. The voice of the turtle is here in our land. Let God's voice be the voice we hear this morning. Let God arise.